In the name of our living Lord and risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. When Jesus walked this earth, he looked like any other ordinary tax-paying citizen. And that led some of the Jews to question the validity of Christ's testimony concerning himself. Jesus was standing in the very midst of the Jewish people. But unfortunately, they had made up their minds as to the kind of Messiah or Savior they wanted Jesus to be. And when Jesus did not measure up according to their man-made specifications, they rejected him. Nothing Jesus could say, nothing Jesus could do, could make these Jews change their minds. They saw Jesus, but did not recognize the Son of God. They heard Jesus, but misunderstood, misinterpreted his words. That the Jews did not believe in Jesus Christ could only be explained by their natural blindness and enmity toward God. Their unbelief, the sin of sins, would condemn them and be entirely their fault. The greatest curse of unbelief is to live life without the hope of ever going home. The greatest curse of unbelief is to be one of the forever homeless, never able to find the door of heaven. With deep sadness, we know for the unbelieving person, there comes that awful day when it is too late to go home to heaven. In John 8, Jesus validates his testimony about himself. Beginning in verse 12 and then concluding at verse 30 in our text, Jesus explains both his origin and his destination. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Verse 16, "I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." Verse 18, "I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is my Father who sent me." In verse 21, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." Verse 24, "I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." In verse 28, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." In eternity, before the creation of the world, the Son was with the Father, beholding the Father's glory and sharing it in his own person. It was our Heavenly Father's will that his Son should become incarnate for us. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Jesus came to earth to live among us and to do the work of his Father who sent him. In 1 John 4, we read, "This is how God showed his love among us. God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Since Jesus is God, every word Jesus speaks is God's word. If you and I want to be truly wise, we listen to Jesus. Remember Peter? He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Yet Jesus said, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." The Son of God neither claims nor desires any glory apart from his Father. Jesus' thoughts were focused on pleasing his Father. Jesus was in constant conversation with the Father. As Christians, deaconesses, and pastors, we want to be like Jesus. And thus we strive to see things from our Heavenly Father's point of view rather than a human point of view. Friends in Christ, to speak like Jesus and to think like Jesus thinks and to be like Jesus, we need to have a heavenly perspective. We set our minds on the things of God and we abandon our self-absorbed and our self-centered thinking. To develop the mind of Christ, you and I need to begin thinking like Jesus. Jesus was self-forgetful, thinking more of others than himself. Jesus was compassionate, humble, and a servant toward others. To please our Heavenly Father and be like Jesus, we strive daily to be compassionate, humble, and servants toward others. Not one word ever left Jesus' mouth that was not the absolute truth. Likewise, we only want to speak the absolute truth from God's word. We recognize the temptation to speak our own opinion or own perspective. We understand, though, the absolute importance of pleasing our Heavenly Father by always saying God's word says, rather than I think. Jesus will come again to take us to himself. But Jesus still has work for us to do here on earth. The important thing is that we are not of the world, even though we still live in the world. Jesus teaches us to place different values on things of the world. Because we have God's own Son as our Savior, in Jesus, we are forgiven, forever forgiven, of all of our sins. And eternal life in heaven is a gift. As believers, we know that we have an eternal treasure waiting for each and every one of us. Our earthly life is only a temporary home. As the obedient Son of Man, Jesus obtained eternal salvation for us by being lifted up on the cross and being the one he claimed to be. Other human achievements may be forgotten or may be recognized as tiny bits of the story of mankind. But what Jesus, the Son of Man, achieved on the rugged cross and through his glorious resurrection is the central, supremely important fact of all history. None of us this side of eternity will ever be able to grasp the mystery of grace in Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. For what the cross shows us is God's attitude toward us. The cross is the measure of God's compassion and his love for us. With Jesus dwelling in our hearts, we want to go home when our work on earth is done. Heaven is our home. Heaven is our resting place. The Holy Spirit gives each and every one of us a longing for heaven. Heaven is not only where our heart is. Heaven is where our thinking is and where our hope is every day of our life. The glory of Christ's cross and his empty tomb will be celebrated in his kingdom forever and ever. And in a little while, we will all go to be with our Savior in heaven. Jesus has promised us heaven. And we believe his words. Because Jesus, sent by his Heavenly Father, is the one he claimed to be, our living Lord and risen Redeemer. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.